Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word, which is ongoing and never ending and continuing in our lives. And for this story, which is so rich and so full and so bursting with meaning. And we pray that we would be able to understand it and apply it and use it for our lives. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Nobody? Well, it's not too late. I'd like to know if you do make one. As we are entering into 2014, we are always trying to improve ourselves and to be better people or to be more helpful, or how can we be more loving and accepting and forgiving? One way to think about it, one way to approach this, is to improve the quality of our lives by looking at our relationships. I'm not talking about relationships necessarily romantic relationships or the relationships that you're kind of bound by, but I'm talking about the kind of relationships that you choose to be in, whether it has to do at home or school or work or church or social settings, these relationships that you have a certain amount of control over. Because no matter what, in all the settings that we find ourselves in, the core of who we are in our journeys are related to our relationships. How do we improve them? Now, for many of our relationships, they're worth cultivating, they're worth nurturing, they're worth strengthening. But then there are other relationships where maybe God is calling us, okay, there needs to be a change there. Or maybe some relationships will be ending and some will be beginning. Then, of course, like I said, there are relationships that are just there. We don't have as much choice, but we're in those relationships and they can't be avoided. So the story that we're talking about from the wise men and King Herod and the religious chief priests and the scribes, that story is full of this world of relationships that we can explore and the journey of relationships. The story starts out with the Magi, and they are journeying and they are traveling to Jerusalem. Now, the Magi, or the wise men that we have come to know, are not really kings that we sing about in the hymn, the famous hymn that we know, but the scholars view them as these people from Persia, probably, and that they were of a priestly caste. They were experts in astrology and magic and divination, which includes omens and signs and visions and these weird practices that they were involved in. Now, we know that these practices, these beliefs by these outsiders, these foreigners, are condemned in the Old Testament. Now, in Deuteronomy 4 and 18 and Isaiah 47, we are to shun these practices and these beliefs. We are not to accept them. They are not to be part of the Jewish family. They are just unconventional and so far-reaching and far-fetched. Whether it has to do with horoscopes or dreams or visions or chants, whatever, they are not acceptable. But the interesting thing in this story is that Matthew chooses to shine the spotlight on them. Matthew, being a Jew through and through, chooses to give them considerable attention. So the Magi are on this journey, and they reach Jerusalem, and they're looking for the king of the Jews. Now, if you're looking for a king, obviously the place to go would be the palace, because they would have information on a king to be born. The ruling king of the time is King Herod, and King Herod is well-connected, and he is documented in terms of his prowess. He is a builder, and he is a person who builds relationships as well. Now, Herod is not Jewish. He's from Edom. But he knows the Jewish leadership. He knows the chief priests. He knows the scribes. In 47 BC, we know from history that he had convinced the Romans to put him in power, and then 7 years later, he extended his power beyond reaching through Judea. So to strengthen his relationship with the Jewish people, he married a daughter of a high priest, a Jewish high priest, and then he built the temple in Jerusalem to further honor them. So Herod is good at making connections, good at building relationships, building networks, a web. But yet at the same time, Herod uses finesse and leverage and authority, sometimes in not so healthy ways, even though he had collected these relationships. So when the Magi get there, Herod decides, okay, I need to be in relationship with these three individuals. And so he charms them, he talks to them. And after finding out what they're looking for, he gives them the impression that he's interested in what they're interested in. He says, I want to know the baby king as well, and I want to worship him. I want to adore him. So he tries to find common ground with them, even though underlying the relationship, there's some ulterior motive. Herod, as we see, is interested in his own advancement, in his own achievement. And if he's not doing that, if he sees that a relationship is a threat to him, then he is bent on protecting his place and his position. As a power broker, his idea of the relationship is, how can they serve me? How can I use them? And if they're a threat, his view is, how can I crush them? How can I eliminate them and squash them or discredit and destroy them? So Herod consults with the chief priests. He brings in his other relationships to help him out. The chief priests and the scribes know the word of God. They're the custodians. They're the guardians of the word of God, scriptures. Some of them were trained as early as 5 years old, taken under their wings with the rabbis. They became a rabbi themselves when they were 30 years old. So they know the scripture through and through, and they eat, drink, and sleep. Scripture, it runs through every fiber of their being. So when Herod calls the chief priests and the scribes, he asks them, where is this king of Jews to be born? And of course, they know the answer. They quote Micah 5. They say, well, the answer is he will be born in Bethlehem. And you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They know the exact quote. They know the citation. They know the wording. They know the answer. The strange thing, though, in the way the scripture is presented, is that when King Herod asks them the question, they don't make any connection. They don't connect the dots. So if they really got it, they could have said, aha, our Messiah is finally here. The fulfillment of prophecy. You would think that they would say something like, wow, our Messiah is here. We better go check it out for ourselves. We better go as well. We better follow. But if you read the passage, what you find out is that the response from the wise men is silence. What is their response to the news of the birth of Jesus? Silence and indifference. They're unmoved. They're not interested. They're not concerned. They don't seem to be wanting that relationship with God, with the Messiah. Instead, they stay there with Herod and they stay entrenched. So Herod says to the Magi, when you find him, come back and let me know. Now Herod and the chief priests could have said, wow, we are coming with you. We are going to accompany you. In fact, we will escort you. We will make sure you have everything you need when you find Jesus. But instead, they don't venture out. They don't get outside of the walls. They stay within their comfort zones. They take this approach of wait and see. I'm going to lay back and wait and see. In other words, they want other people to do the legwork. They want other people to do the hard work and the research. They want other people to journey and travel for them. Now, what that says is that is characteristic of a one-sided relationship. Are we in that kind of relationship? One-sided, meaning that someone else is willing to initiate and follow through for someone else, and there is no mutual reciprocal balance. And if we're in that kind of relationship, we need to pause and examine and reflect. So the Magi, they catch a vision of the star, and they keep going, they keep traveling until they finally get there. And when they reach their destination, they worship Christ Jesus. They offer their gifts. They complete the course. But shortly thereafter that, God says to them, don't return to Herod. Go a different way. Now, in the language of relationships, what that means is don't continue that relationship with Herod. Go a different way. Go a different direction. Don't go back. Don't go backwards. He doesn't have your best interests in mind. He has ulterior motives. He is detrimental. As we look at our relationships in 2014, we ask these questions. These people that we're in relationship with, are they journeying? Are they traveling? Are they seeking out God's will in their lives? Are they actively walking the path? Are they venturing out? Are they exploring what God has for them, which will be new? Number two, is there a sense of willingness of the other person to go alongside us in good times and difficult times? Or is it kind of one-sided, where you're doing all the work, you're doing all the initiating, you're doing the legwork for them? Or on the flip side, are they doing that for you? Where is the balance? Where is improvement? Finally, is God saying, don't go back. Don't go back to that relationship. Go another way. As Christians, we are in the business of relationship building, encouraging one another, building up each other as children of God. Instead of breaking down, instead of criticizing, instead of judging, our relationship should be affirming, life-giving. Our relationship should behold Christ Jesus and involve rejoicing and great joy in the beauty which Christ gives us. Maybe we're in Herod's shoes. If so, we may want to make a change and look in the mirror. Matthew, as I mentioned early, portrays all these characters, and the characters that Matthew wants us to identify with in this story are the wise men, not Herod, not the scribes, not the chief priests. So interesting that the Magi, or the wise men, are not Jewish, but they're foreigners. They're outsiders. Even though Matthew was a Jew, he lifts up the non-Jew and the Gentiles like the new people on the block and finds virtue and value and worth with them. God calls us to be in relationship with new people in the new year. At the same time, God will call us in our relationships for some of them to close, for some of them to end. And may God give us wisdom and the discernment to begin and to end relationships gracefully and properly with God's Spirit. Amen.